anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God. And to begin with, the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. All of Psalm 27. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful weapon of your word which is the sword of the Spirit and so much more. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to look to you to be our shield, our guide, our help, our refuge, our fortress, and so, so much more. Whether we like it or not, the spiritual warfare of life rages around us, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Thank you, Lord, for the refuge we have in you. Thank you for the weapon we have in you and in your word. Help us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word, believers who are wise enough to seek you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength each and every day, and that look to you for help, strength, grace in all circumstances and in all situations. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we come to you today to praise your name, to lift high your name. Father, what a God you are, a God to be delighted in, and teach us more and more what it means to delight in you, Lord. And we want to commit our ways to you today, Lord, that the direction we go, the pace at which we go, our attitudes, the things that we say, we want them to be committed to you today. Help us, lead us today, Father. We are children who need to be led by your hand, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for listening and being a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're continuing to remind and let our listeners know about this very important project AFA has embarked upon. The American Family Association will no longer be canceled by culture or banned from speaking the truth. We're introducing the latest ministry effort, AFA Streaming, built and managed by the American Family Association. Previously, AFA did rely on third-party platforms such as YouTube, Vimeo, and Facebook to stream content. However, these platforms have become censors of biblical truth, and what a tragedy that is. AFA Streaming is now available right now. AFA Streaming is online. It is an online platform that hosts all AFA-produced video content from documentaries and church curriculum to our Cultural Institute series, all available now for online viewing on a user-friendly, first-class website. AFA's vision is to be a leading organization and ministry in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA Streaming provides top-notch resources that address issues related to the core values of the American Family Association. It's simple to create an account and stream limited content for free. Great Commission partners, that is those who make a monthly donation of any amount, will have unlimited access to all content on the platform. Please pray much for this ministry effort. The American Family Association continues to be a leading ministry in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Again, pray daily for this work and this project, and you can set up your account today to begin streaming. To find out more, visit afa.net. Again, that's afa.net. Hope you'll do just that. As always, it's a privilege to have you as a part of our listening family. We want to continue to encourage you to get involved with the great work of this important ministry outreach, Operation Christmas Child. You can send the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. Packing a shoebox results in the great work of evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication to move forward through this great outreach that's been around a long time, touching children all over the world, millions of children. This is a direct way for you to help to equip the local church around the world and communities in different nations around the world, Operation Christmas Child's local ministry partners, with a simple platform, a shoebox gift, to reach their own communities and establish long-term relationships. Hope that you will get involved with this great evangelism and discipleship outreach. Just visit samaritanspurse.org/OCC. Again, that's samaritanspurse.org/OCC to learn more and to find a drop-off location near you. Again, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession. Today, we're specifically looking at the topic, the arsenal of the Word of God. Again, the arsenal of the Word of God. And just to jump off into, as we look at this subject, we're looking largely at the reality that, like it or not, you and I face intense spiritual warfare every day. And the reality is some people face much more intense spiritual warfare than others, but everyone deals with it every day of your life. Wherever you may go, at home, on the job, in school, wherever you may find yourself, in the grocery store, spiritual warfare is going on, the battle between light and darkness. So it's important that we as believers both understand that, like it or not, that's what we're dealing with, but it's wise for us to decide that we want to become well-equipped spiritual warriors who know how to not only battle, but to be victorious in dealing with the warfare of life each and every day in the spirit realm. Just to share a few introductory scriptures that really help to open our understanding up as we look at the topic of the arsenal of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 tells us, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." Now I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." Then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, it tells us, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Reading that verse again, Ephesians 6, verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And let me say this too, we're going to be looking heavily at what the Word of God is really helping us to grasp and understand as it talks about God's Word as being the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is both a weapon and an arsenal of weapons as well. So we'll be looking at that further. Specifically looking in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, it tells us, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 14 to 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Now, let me just say this again. We're looking today at the topic, the arsenal of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you two definitions of the word arsenal. So I want you to listen to them, but two different definitions that you'll find for the meaning of the word arsenal. An arsenal is a collection of weapons and military equipment stored by a country, person, or group. Again, a collection of weapons and military equipment stored by a country, person, or group. And another definition of arsenal is a place where weapons and military equipment are stored or made. Again, a place where weapons and military equipment are stored or made. I remember many years ago, there was a particular church denominational family, that in revising their hymnal, they wanted to get rid of a couple songs that were traditional and had been loved and used and sung by people for many, many years, one of which was Onward Christian Soldiers. And the thought was by some within that denominational family was that it's too militaristic, too, I guess, in their perspective, worldly, and something that they didn't want to have associated with the church. But let me share with you why that's a wrong approach. The Word of God has lots and lots of imagery and understanding and insight that helps us understand, like it or not, life is spiritual warfare. Therefore, as believers, it's important that we're willing to approach life with the understanding that it's warfare and that we're to live, we're wise to live as well-equipped warriors in the kingdom of God. It's important that we understand, like it or not, we have to do battle often. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 144, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke." That was verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 144. Notice again, even simply the first two verses, how much they have imagery and concepts and words that talk about warfare and battle and fighting. Why? Because that's what life is full of, like it or not. Again, reading verses 1 and 2 once again of Psalm 144. "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me." Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us of being able to be well-equipped warriors who know how to go out on the battlefield of life every day, well-equipped by your word and your spirit. Anoint us with the wisdom and grace to be believers that are wise enough to put on the full armor of God every day and to know how to go forth in faith, trusting you to help us to walk continually in victory. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, the arsenal of the Word of God. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight.
Of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the arsenal of the Word of God. And again, just one more time again, one of the definitions that we shared earlier of the definitions of the word arsenal is a collection of weapons and military equipment stored by a country, person, or group. And the fact is, we, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we as believers in the kingdom of God, we're the army of God. And God has given us a wonderful arsenal within his precious and powerful word. There's so much in the word of God that shares wisdom, insight, and understanding about both the fact that the word of God itself is a weapon, but it's full of weapons and ammunition that we as believers need to learn how to use on a continual basis. I'm reminded of how that in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, interesting how that, remember, Jesus, he is the Word of God, and in his earthly ministry, he used the Word of God as a weapon against the devil. Notice how he uses it. Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Verses 1 through 11, Matthew chapter 4. Now that's a passage you would be wise to go back and read many times over and look at it, listen to what God is saying to you through it. Because remember, Jesus is the Son of God, and he's God, and he's the Word of God as well. And here, Jesus teaches us how to do battle in life. He teaches us how to do spiritual warfare every day. As temptation comes your way, always use the Word of God. Always speak the Word of God. Always stand on the Word of God. Why? Because it's the key weapon for all spiritual warfare. And remember, Jesus, he himself is the Word of God, yet he was quoting the Old Testament, which was the scriptures that they had at that point in time, but he would quote the Word of God, and Jesus was both doing battle and teaching all at the same time. He was teaching us how to do battle, spiritual warfare. You speak the word of God. You stand on the word of God. Now, the reality is sometimes believers make the mistake of thinking, well, you know, that's what fanatics do. They speak God's word all the time, and in certain situations, they speak the word of God in a public setting or in private settings, and that's what fanatics do. No, that's what wise Christians do. That's what wise believers who understand that the battlefield of life is very real and the warfare is real. And the fact is, when we try to use our intellect, our ingenuity, or our own thinking and perspectives in doing battle, we can expect to fall flat and lose every single time. Remember this, the Bible lets us know, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Satan cannot defeat the word of God. And the word of God is our key and our chief weapon for every battle that we will ever face. So speaking the word of God and standing on the word of God is very, very important. Now, I want to share with you, and we've shared this before, but I want to remind you and encourage you to keep this in mind. This is not just information for you to know, to say, well, I've heard this, I know this. This is information for you to take and put to work in your life. Seven specific ways you can use God's word. Now, remember, one of the reasons why it's important to know these is so that you can use the word of God in all these ways. And we're wise to actually seek to use the word of God, to battle with the word of God in all these seven ways every single day. How do we use the word of God in the seven different ways? What are those ways? Well, we can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Now, all of them are connected, but none are quite the same thing. You can read God's word, but not really hear it. In fact, sometimes a person can read a passage and you ask them, what did you read? And sometimes that same person may say, what did I read? And they have trouble recalling the very words they read. Why? Because, again, the fact is, sometimes we can read without really hearing with our heart. It's important to try to read and hear as well. So sometimes we can read the word of God, but not choose to believe it. You know, the fact is, a person can hear the word of God. And recently we were talking about the powerful account in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, where the people of Israel had heard the word of God. God had called them to go into the promised land, but they didn't believe that God could help them to go in and conquer the land. And so they heard the word, but they chose to not believe it. But they chose to put their faith in their own thinking, their own perspective. So they didn't trust the word of God and therefore missed the opportunity to go into the promised land at that point in time. So yes, we can read the word of God, but not choose to believe it. But what a tragedy that is. We're to read it with the goal of fully believing it. In fact, you know, you and I are wise to say, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I'm a believer. Now, why should we say that? Because the devil tries to train believers to become doubters of the word of God. Even from the beginning, when Adam and Eve were approached in the Garden of Eden, the devil's tactic was to get God's people to not believe the word of God. That's always where our problem has been. When we fail to not believe the word of God, we hear it but don't believe it, that's always a mistake. God's word can be trusted 100% of the time in all circumstances, in all situations, but we as believers need to choose to believe. So a wise confession for us to say on a daily basis is, I'm a believer and I'm not a doubter. I believe the word of God. I believe every word of God's word. So again, we can read the word of God, but sometimes not hear it. We can read the word of God, but maybe in some instances choose to not believe it. Well, you know, sometimes we can read the word of God, but not make a habit of speaking the word of God. And, you know, I want to make this very, very clear. It's very important to understand speaking God's word is extremely important in all of life. Going back to Matthew chapter 4, notice how Jesus battled the devil in temptation. He spoke the word of God. Now, we all know reading is wonderful and reading is very important. But along with the reading of God's word, we should speak the word of God. We should speak the promises of God's word. That's one of the ways whereby we battle. We speak God's word. We speak the promises of God's word. We stand on the word of God. And when you read a promise from God's word, well, often what you may very, very well hear is a demonic thought that runs through your head that will say something along this line, well, you know that's not true for you. That doesn't apply to you. That won't work for you. Well, you know, again, we as believers should practice being believers. We're wise to say, Lord, I believe that. That's your word, and I'm standing on it, and I'm believing it. Why do we need to do that? Speaking God's word along with reading God's word is very important. Jesus is our great example. And in Matthew chapter 4, this is just one of many instances where Jesus specifically spoke the word of God out loud in a public way. Why? And understand this too. A believer should never apologize for quoting the word of God or speaking the word of God. Why? The word of God is the wisdom of the creator of the universe. God's word always applies in every situation, in every circumstance. It's good for all people, in all circumstances, in all times, in all cultures. God's word is what sets us free. So for someone to feel the need to apologize for speaking the word of God or quoting the word of God, what a sad way to even think. God's word is always appropriate in every setting, in every situation. And when people try to say it's not, what a tragedy. Did you know that once upon a time, God's word, the Bible, was a textbook in our public schools? Many, many years ago, it was a textbook in our public schools. And it should be a textbook today, because there's nothing our children and youth need more than the precious and powerful word of God. What a tragedy that the devil conspired to get the word of God out of schools. And in his mind, and for many people, they bring up the whole topic of separation of church and state. Let me help you understand clearly. The whole concept of the separation of church and state is a demonic concept. God is supposed to permeate everything. God's wisdom is appropriate in every circumstance. People talk about, well, God shouldn't be in government. No, God should permeate government. Leaders should be full of the word of God and full of Jesus and full of the Spirit of God, and should have no problem quoting and speaking the word of God, because remember, this is the wisdom of the creator of the universe. So the word of God is our chief weapon in life. It's a powerful weapon. Remember, the word of God is the most powerful weapon in all of the universe. You know, in the precious word of God, God gave us his word. And he chose to introduce the Bible with the book of Genesis. And he chose to introduce the book of Genesis with Genesis chapter 1. The story, the wonderful and powerful true account of the creation of the universe. And how did God create the universe? He spoke it into existence with his words. And you and I are created in the image of God. Our words have power as well. And when we speak the word of God, there's power in reading the word of God and speaking the word of God. So remember, the word of God is our chief weapon, and we're wise to use it every day. Again, seven ways to use it daily. We can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Now, what does meditation mean? To meditate on a scripture is, for example, one way to meditate is you read it once, then you read it a second time. Then you read over it slowly a third time, and maybe a fourth time, and a fifth time. You go over and over it, and understand this. Sometimes you may have to battle your mind, because your mind may say, I've read that already. I know what it says. But your spirit will often tell you, keep digging. Keep digging. Why? Because there's more insight and understanding that the Spirit of God wants you to draw from that passage. And the reality is this. You and I will never get to the bottom of any passage of Scripture, because there's more wisdom, there's more treasure, there's more power to be found there. So meditating on it is to go over and over and over it again and again and again, to speak it, to stand on it, to think on it. Just taking time to really think about a passage over and over again. Why? Because God can definitely speak wisdom and grace that you've never heard or grasped before from the same passage that you may think that you know by heart, you've known for years and years. And you may think, oh, I know all about that passage. No, you don't. Neither do I. There's more God wants to teach us from any given passage. Probably one of, if not the most favorite passage in all of the Word of God is Psalm 23. Lots of people think they know the Psalm. They feel, well, I've memorized it. But there's so, so much more treasure in it for all of us if we'll spend time reading and meditating on it. The weapon of meditation is a powerful spiritual weapon that will help us to grow closer to God, but help us to learn better how to walk in victory as we put the powerful Word of God to work. It's important that we understand, again, like it or not, we're dealing with spiritual warfare every single day. And learning to put the powerful Word of God to work is very, very important. Yes, the Word of God is a weapon, and it's an arsenal of weapons within the weapon of the Word of God. The needs are great. Amongst other things, we're called, as Matthew chapter 28 lets us know, we're called to go into all the world and make disciples. What does that mean? We as believers are to be living lifestyles of doing the work of evangelism and discipleship. Why? Because people are dying and going to hell in huge numbers every single day. And we as the church are called to do something about that. We all have a role to play. We have a part to play in the work of the spread of the gospel and the making of disciples. So the Holy Spirit will help us to be ready to do that, and will be teaching us how to do that more and more every day. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, the arsenal of the Word of God. We'll be right back. Music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, reminding us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation and eternal life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking today at the topic, the arsenal of the Word of God. Again, the arsenal of the Word of God. And as we mentioned earlier, an arsenal basically is a collection of weapons and military equipment stored by a country, person, or group. And of course, the Word of God is, amongst other things, it's the sword of the Spirit. But not only is it the sword of the Spirit, it's a collection of weapons within it. And we are wise to take the arsenal of God's Word and learn to put it to work victoriously as we walk in life. Again, what are the needs before us? The needs are many and great. The need is for us as the church to be involved as a lifestyle, involved in the work of evangelism and discipleship. Our goal is also to be continually involved in the work of discipling people that come to know Christ, and disciple people who are believers, discipling our children and our young people. We live in a world where children desperately need to know Jesus and to learn how to grow up in their faith. We see children and youth exposed to so much darkness on the internet and on television and on movies and in books, exposed to toxic darkness by the gallon in so many ways. Our children need to be consuming God's precious Word. God's Word is pure light. There's nothing our children and youth need more than the Word of God. And so let me challenge and encourage every parent listening today, if you have young children at home, make it a goal daily. I would encourage you, just make it a goal daily to have them read 3 chapters out loud to you. Now, if you think, well, that's a lot. Well, you know, it may take about 15 minutes or so. It doesn't take long. 15 minutes out of a 24-hour day, that's not a lot of time at all. But remember, they need the Word of God more than they need the air that they breathe. So making it a priority to have them to read the Word of God out loud to you is important. Now, one of the reasons why I like to emphasize them reading for you is because I think many a parent make the mistake of saying, well, Johnny or Susie or Debbie, go read. Go to your room and read your Bible. Well, many a child, some of them may go and do what they're told, and some may go in there and read a verse or two and say, I've read my Bible. But if they read out loud to you, you know they've done it. And the fact is, it'll bless them, and it'll bless you as well. And as much as we like to think, well, my children will do what I tell them, and they won't lie to me. Well, the reality is we live in a fallen world, and our children are amongst those that are fallen in and of themselves. So having them, parents, having them read out loud to you, again, I want to emphasize that's an important family spiritual discipline. So having them to read out loud to you is a very wise thing. Grandparents, having your children to read the Word of God out loud to you over the telephone, that's a smart thing to do. Give them incentive. Offer them money or something you know that will motivate them, but have them to read out loud to you. You might be the only person having them to do that. And remember, the Word of God will always, always, always bless them in ways you and I don't fully comprehend. The Word of God is Jesus, and when they're exposed to the wisdom and the grace of Jesus through the Word of God, nothing will bless them like God's precious Word. So also, we live in a world full of bad influences, terrible influences. Too often, young people are influenced, as we mentioned, by the internet and by television, by movies, but also they're influenced by poor examples and peers at school, young people who don't know the Lord, young people that may be steeped in going in wrong directions in their lives. Well, again, the influences are all around our children, so they need the Word of God. They need to be discipled. You know, we had the Ten Commandments Project that we've talked about on the broadcast, where we would have young people to memorize the Ten Commandments, and they'd get a free T-shirt. We'd send them a free T-shirt if they simply memorized the Ten Commandments and recited them to their parents. Well, that's an ongoing project for persons that are interested in getting involved. Just get in touch with us. We'll tell you more about it. But the fact is, that's not just a nice Sunday school project. The fact is, planting the Word of God in our children is much more important than any of us grasp. Why is that important? Because again, remember, our children's hearts are soil. And something is going to be planted in their hearts and their lives every single day. The question is, what is being planted in their hearts? All of our hearts are soil. What are we planting in our hearts? What are we having and allowing to be planted in our children's hearts as well? Well, sadly, too many dark things are being planted in the hearts and the minds of too many of our youth. I've shared before a tragedy of a news story several months ago of three young middle school girls who went out into the woods, and two of them tried to murder their friend, the third girl. And the fact is, the girl survived being stabbed many times by two of the girls. But the question is, where will little middle school girls get the idea of wanting to murder one of their friends? Well, again, the work of the kingdom of darkness. The devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy, and he'll try to plant wrong, dark, wicked influences in the hearts and minds of children as well as adults as often as he can. So when children are full of toxic darkness, and that's what's being planted in their minds and their hearts, then the fact is, that's what's in their minds and their hearts, and that's what you can expect to come out through their actions. On the other hand, when we're helping our children to fill up on the precious and powerful Word of God, when they're doing things like memorizing the Ten Commandments and learning the meaning of them and learning how to live them out and learning to pray the Ten Commandments every day, it makes all the difference in the world. We live in a world where lots of kids deal with bullying and being bullied. Well, again, that's one of the tragedies of the reality of spiritual warfare, but the Word of God is a tool that we can use to help equip our children for the battles of life such as that as well. Pornography is rampant. It's so easily accessed. I'm reminded of a sad instance where I got a phone call from a young mom distraught where her 8-year-old little girl, who had access to an iPad, that had access to the internet, had downloaded a lot of pornography. Now you might think, well, why? How in the world would a little girl even want to download pornography? What does she know about it? Well, apparently she learned enough to get it and download it. The fact is, we live in a wicked world that's trying to swallow our children alive. It's important that we as parents are diligent in addressing these issues. Youth violence, young people killing each other, what a tragedy. So many young people losing their lives because of drug overdoses and the influence of tragic drugs that can cripple them or kill them. We live in a world where so many young people are being influenced by the LGBT community and trying to mislead them and to make them think that there's more than one gender. Well, Genesis chapter, in the beginning of Genesis, God lets us know there's male and female. That's all God made, two genders. There are no more. God's word is truth, and it helps us know what's true and what's not true. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10, once again tells us these words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Looking then in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. The elders who are among you I exhort, I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verses 1 through 11, 1 Peter chapter 5. Father, thank you, Lord, for how that your word equips us, guides us, prepares us, molds and shapes us to become kingdom warriors who know how to go forward and put the weaponry to work that you've placed in our hands. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of wisdom and grace that would help us to recognize that, yes, we are dealing with spiritual warfare every single day. But at the same time, because we learn to look to you, to trust you, and to live in you, we can walk victoriously. Help us to recognize, Lord, that we're not simply victims of a terrible world, but we can live as victorious warriors who can be used mightily by your Spirit and in the power of your Spirit as we simply hear your word and walk in its wisdom. Father, you told us in your word, in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, you said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Father, more and more, teach us to move in the wisdom, the counsel, the power, and the grace of your Spirit moment by moment in our lives. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of encouragement and wisdom to know how to do that. And help us to be wise enough to fill our lives with your word every single day. And help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to fill up on your word each and every day. And empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we usually do, as we draw to a close, if you're listening today and you've never made the all-important step of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, understand this. When it comes to spiritual warfare, people that don't know Christ will be defeated every day of their lives. You need to know Jesus in order to be victorious in the air of spiritual warfare as well. If you'd like to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior today, would you simply pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from that wrong. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, in a brand new way, I ask you, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Lord, you said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my entire life for you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and just committed your life to Christ, we'd really like to be in touch with you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some resources and literature that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. We really would like to get that to you. Or if you want any of the other resources, prayer resources, discipleship resources, or anyone listening, if you're wanting some of those, again, same email, simply email us, jparker@afa.net. We've been looking today at the topic, the arsenal of the Word of God. Hope that you're making the most of using God's Word every day as a victorious warrior on the battlefield daily. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.